All right. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings to us, Lord. Thank you for your provision in our life, Lord. Thank you for being a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God, Lord. Thank you for bringing us here safely, and just pray that you'd bless the reading of your word, and just pray that it would return unto you bountifully, Lord. We just pray that you'd bless the time we spend together, and just pray your will be done in our lives, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we just had Resurrection Sunday last week, and I know there's a little bit more time between Resurrection Sunday and Pentecost, but I figured today would be a great day to talk about Pentecost. So, to start us off, I'm going to have Nicholas come up and read John 14, 25 through 31.
John 14, 25 through 31. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I have said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and have nothing for me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me command, even so do I. Arise, let us go hence.
Thank you, Nicholas. This sounds familiar because Jesus mentioned elsewhere in John that he wasn't acting or speaking on his own authority, but he was speaking in obedience and acting in obedience to his Father and through his will. If we look at Matthew 28, 16 to 19, we get the Great Commission. Matthew 28, starting at verse 16, says, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And now I'm going to have Anthony come up and read Acts 1.
This I have made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, unto the day which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, be seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Logan. So here we have the promise of the Holy Spirit, and we have the Great Commission. The Lord Jesus told them to go and baptize, told them to go and spread the good word, but he said, hold on a minute. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes and is present with you. Here we have the promise of the Holy Spirit, but we are reminded to focus on our present task, not just waiting until Jesus comes again. It makes me think of the parable that Mr. Zinsky mentioned a couple weeks ago in Matthew 24, 36 to 42. Matthew 24, starting at verse 36, says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken, the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known the hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour which you do not expect. We are to stay vigilant and remember to be about our Father's business. Picking up Acts chapter 1 at verse 9. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud and received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, he went up, and behold, two men stood by them in white apparel and said to them, Men of Galilee, why are you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Here I think the disciples were hoping that the John 14, 1 through 4, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my house, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And in John 14, 28, that Nicholas read a little bit earlier, you have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. I think they were hoping that would all happen right before their very eyes. The Lord ascended. Let him come back right now. But as we notice, he hasn't come back yet, but any time now. If we go to Acts 2, starting at verse 1. Acts 2, starting at verse 1, says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. One sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with each other with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak his own language." How amazing would that be? "Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadonia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues and of the wonderful works of God.'" What an incredible event that would have been to witness, to see all that come to pass. "So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'Whatever could this mean?' Others said, mocking, 'They are full of new wine.'" And unfortunately, how common is it for the world to make light of and make rationalizations for amazing miracles of God? Verse 14 says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this was spoken by the prophet Joel, 'And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and maids, and on my maid servants, I will pour out the Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" So here we can see that the parts of that prophecy have been fulfilled. We know that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But some of the other earthly things have yet to come to pass. We can look forward to that prophecy will be fulfilled in every word, as the word of the Lord is perfect and complete. Verse 22 says, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to do miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David said concerning him, I foresaw the Lord before my foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, and I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, would be raised up, the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not to be left in Hades, nor his flesh to see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remissions of the sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. These are the same crowds that called for Jesus to be crucified in Matthew 27, verse 22 to 25. When Pilate said to them, what shall we do with Jesus who is called Christ? And they all said to him, let him be crucified. Then the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. And Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that the tumult was rising. So he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see it to it. And all the people answered and said to him, his blood be on us and on our children. Now after seeing Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection and all the signs and wonders that had been done by the disciples, and now hearing Peter, they're finally convicted of their sin. And they realize they need a way out. And there is only one way out. As it is true with any of us, anytime we're convicted of our sins, the answer is to repent. I found this interesting because this is the last time where water baptism comes before the Holy Spirit. Because now the order is faith in Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and then a water baptism as an outward sign of the inward change that has taken place to identify with Christ. It reminds me of this morning at morning worship when Jordan offered 1 John 4:7, and I went a little bit farther. I went down to 13. So 1 John 4, starting at verse 7, says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. For he does not love, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And I went just a little bit farther to include his Spirit, because we're talking about the Holy Spirit today, so I thought that was very fitting. If we go to Acts chapter 2, verse 40, and it says, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who had been saved." We can see once again that continuing together in one accord, continuing together has the great value for the believer. In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." If we can skip down to Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 1. "And now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees had come upon them, and being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead, they laid hands on them and put them into custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word and believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Now, in my commentary, when I was looking it up, they weren't sure if this was an additional 5,000 or this was a total of 5,000 according to the 3,000 that had previously been saved on the day of Pentecost. But either way, we can see the church is growing. "And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers and the elders and the scribes, as well as Ananias the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, 'By what power and by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he was made well. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by man, this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there a salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Here we can see that Peter was used by the Holy Spirit to witness to religious leaders. Not only does the Holy Spirit give us the boldness to step out for the Lord and step up for the Lord, but it also, the Holy Spirit guides us. He gives us the words to say. So it's not of our own strength. It's not of our own ability. He uses our weakness to show his strength. But here we can see that Peter is able to withstand the religious leaders, the earthly authority. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men," once again, in their weakness, God shows his strength, "they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do with these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spread no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. For now they speak to no man this name.' So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot speak the things which we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" Going back to the Great Commission, he told them to go and tell of the good news, to tell of all the things that God had done. So when they had heard, when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, since they had all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old whom the miracle of healing had been performed. It seemed like Peter and John were remembering some of the things that Jesus had said, maybe partly of their own accord, maybe partly led by the Spirit, to give them boldness, and remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5:10-12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who revile and persecute you. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Also in John 15:18-27, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they'll keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. And if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written by the law: they hated me without cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. When we align ourselves with God's will, we can see clearly the gifts and the boldness that he supplies us with through the Holy Spirit. If we were to read later in Acts 5, the apostles are tried again. And the religious leaders come to the consensus that they've seen many a religious rebellion over the years, and typically after the leader dies, the rebellion disbands. If it is only men following men, after the leader dies, the rebellion disbands. But if it is of God, then the religious leaders know that they can't contend with God. Man cannot successfully contend with God. And so they decide to leave him alone. And here we are 2,000 years later. So we can see that it's not just men following men, but men following God. Please sing with me Standing on the Promises, number 271 in the Green Book. Thank you. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when in howling storms of life and they'll assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternal way with love's strong cord, overcoming daily by the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises of God. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word and your promises and your blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Pray that your word would go out and return unto you with bountiful blessings, Lord, because we know that your word does not return unto you void. We just pray that your word be remembered and pondered in our hearts that we might not sin against you, Lord. We thank you and pray you to bless us as we go about our day. In Jesus' name, amen.